And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Thank you so much for joining me. Let me say right off the bat, I want to thank American Family Radio and all of our other wonderful sponsors for a very successful Stand Awards dinner that we had last week, Friday, May the 16th. I want to thank Cornerstone Chapel that hosted the event. Beautiful, wonderful church up in Leesburg, Virginia. And thank all of those who came from all over the country to join with us. It was a magnificent event. And I want to congratulate all of our honorees, Tina Deskovich of Moms for Liberty, Walter Hoy of Issues for Life, Kevin Freeman of Liberty Hawk Ranch and Global Investors. Look, I could talk about these people all day long, literally, folks. Stacy Washington, formerly American Family Radio talk show host. God bless her. It was really great to be with her. And last but certainly not least, Robert Woodson. Robert L. Woodson is just a tremendous Christian conservative man, built the Woodson Institute. In his mid-80s now, probably hasn't gotten enough recognition for all the things he did, but we were happy to give the George Washington Award for taking a stand to all of our honorees. Believe me, folks, they earned it, they deserved it, and more. So, but thank all of you for your prayers, thank you for your support, thank you for all that you did, because I always, look, folks, and I mean this very sincerely, this stuff doesn't happen because I'm just brilliant and I'm so great. Believe me, I don't believe that, not even for a millisecond. It happens because you are blessed to have wonderful people around you who believe in what you're doing and support what you're doing and help you in what you're doing. And praise God, you draw wisdom from them and help from them and encouragement from them. And I consider all of you to be a part of that. As I've said many times, American Family Radio couldn't function without you all. We couldn't. Your encouragement, your support. I still run into people now. I know I'm not on daily. I'm on my podcast now weekly, but I still run into people now. I used to listen to you every day. And of course, I'm getting the reports. Many, many of you are listening to the podcast. And thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so very, very much. I've often said, and my staff and those who are close to me, those who are around me, have heard me say it, and you probably have as well. But I've said, the moment you start thinking that it's all about you, you are in trouble. And I mean that, folks. You are in trouble. The moment you start thinking, oh, it's you and you're so great. You know, it's like that story. You all heard that story about that donkey that came back to the stalls. He walks in and all the other donkeys are looking at him because he's just got this strut, you know. And he walks into his stall, man, strutting. And all the donkeys are looking at him saying, well, who do you think you are? I mean, why are you so high and mighty today? He said, because, he said, I took a walk today and people threw their clothes in front of me and put palms down in front of me and were clapping and shouting for me. And one of the wiser donkeys said, hey, fool, it wasn't you. It was the man who was riding on you that they were shouting for. So, folks, it is ultimately, of course, all about Jesus, without whom we could do nothing. So thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness and kindness and mercy toward me and toward all of us. It is great to be with you again today. Look, I've got a number of things I want to talk to you about today. But I want to, because I don't know whether I've had an opportunity to on this program, but I want to congratulate and just encourage Edon Alexander and his family that this young American is finally back home with his family, released by this vicious terrorist organization, Hamas. It is difficult for me to fathom Americans. Now, I understand these foreigners from Middle Eastern countries who are full of the devil coming here and trying to stir up stuff on college campuses because they're full of hatred for Jewish people, and frankly, they're full of hatred for Christians as well. But their primary target is Jews and Israel, and they get Americans to buy into this nonsense. But any American who's stupid enough to buy into that without realizing the history of persecution of Jewish people and the vicious, bloodthirsty history of Islam and its willingness to kill its way into predominance is as big a fool as they are. Any American who buys into that is as big a fool as they are. Now, of course, these people are not from our country. We need to round them up and deport them, get them out of here. I don't know what you do with these Americans. I really don't, because you've got to have BBs for brains to buy into that, but sadly, so many do. And I don't mean to in any way trivialize it or make light of it, because it's dangerous. It leads to some very dangerous places, as history has taught us. You know, this idea the Jews are in control of everything and we blame the Jews for everything. I mean, that's exactly the attitude that Hitler had. And he spread that disease among many, many Germans and ended up killing 6 million people, not to mention 50 million around the world who got caught up in World War II because of his megalomaniacal delusions of anti-Christian or anti-Messiah grandeur, because he thought he was some kind of world Messiah that was going to lead the world for 1,000 years. What a... But sadly, we've got some Americans who are infected with this mess, and we just need to, first of all, stand up against them and oppose them at every turn, pray for them that their eyes will ultimately be opened and that they will see the truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. And I trust that at some point, the word of God sown into their hearts will spring up and bear fruit, and they will realize how wickedly foolish they've been and turn away from that and support the Jewish people and support Israel's right to exist. I want to congratulate President Trump on his continuing effort to reorder the global economy so that America is not the victim of everybody else believing that somehow, because America's been the most successful nation on earth, that somehow we owe the world everything and that we ought to be punished. Punished with tariffs, punished at the UN, punished in the attitudes that some of these wicked Middle Eastern countries like Iran have, or thank God there aren't a whole lot of Middle Eastern countries expressing that kind of hatred. Iran openly expresses it. But of course, we know there are many Muslims in that region who share that sentiment. But thank God that we have a president now who is no longer willing to bow and genuflect to that attitude. That's what Barack Obama did with his little apology tour. And that's pretty much what I started to say Biden. I've done that before. It's a Freudian slip. But what President Biden did, seemingly always willing to have America be the cannon fodder, be the foil for whatever's wrong in the world. Somehow, you know, we are responsible. We've just got to be more willing to bow down to the rest of the world and bow down to other nations. I mean, I think Americans have had enough of that. We don't owe the world an apology. The world owes us a debt of thanks, because if it weren't for us, the world might be clicking its heels saying, "Heil Hitler," right now. So they ought to be thanking America. By the way, since I brought up President Biden, let me just say, it has been learned that President Biden has an aggressive form of prostate cancer that is apparently metastasized. It's gotten into his bones, apparently. If that is true, and if that proves to be accurate, unless they have very, very effective treatments for this, we know that that is a death sentence. However, and I mean this also sincerely, I pray for President Biden. I really do. I really do. I don't, look, folks, we are Christians. We are people of love. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Do good to those who despitefully use you. We don't hate people. And I've never hated Joe Biden. Now, again, the Bible teaches us in the same way that we love people in spite of their wickedness. We hate the wickedness that they do in spite of our love for them. You know, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. The Bible teaches us to have a passionate hatred of wickedness. It says we're supposed to hate it. You know, I said in my sermon last Sunday, and it, by the way, that my sermon always airs on Mondays, in addition to live streaming it on Sundays, on my Facebook page, on YouTube, on our website, thecall.org. It also airs on Mondays at 8:30 a.m., all of the same channels. But so you can check it out. But I said during my sermon that people think that somehow we are not supposed to fight. The Bible says we're not supposed to resist evil with evil. It doesn't say we're not supposed to fight. In fact, the book of Proverbs teaches us, tells us, and by the way, I love the whole Bible anyway, but the book of Proverbs tells us in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 4. Now listen to this, because I'm sure you've read this, but you know, Christians don't, sometimes we don't read the whole Bible and imbibe what it actually says, and we buy into the traditional attitudes that have nothing to do with what the Word of God says. It says, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. In other words, contend with the wicked. That word contend in the Hebrew means make war against. To make war against. To strive against. We're supposed to strive against the wicked. We're supposed to make war against the wicked. Not violent war, mind you. We're supposed to make war against the wicked. But we don't hate them. We don't do it out of hatred for them. We do it out of hatred for the wickedness that they do. And so I would compare Joe Biden to and Barack Obama, for that matter, to Ahab's. The only difference is, again, you read the entire Bible. Ahab repented of his wickedness toward the very end of his reign. He finally came under conviction. I don't sense that Barack Obama or Joe Biden have in any way repented or in any way come to regret the wickedness that they have done or that they represent. But we pray for them anyway, because we're not people of hatred. We're people of love. And folks, again, because, you know, I hear this all the time. In fact, I said this during my sermon too. You know, people have this attitude that, you know, if we were just nicer, If we were just nice to people, they would agree with us. They would understand where we're coming from. But the problem is, we just don't show enough love. We just don't show enough love. Let me tell you something, folks. And the Word of God does say, speak the truth in love. And we should do that. By the way, it doesn't say speak the truth lovingly. Yeah, now I'm getting right down to that nitty gritty. It doesn't say speak the truth lovingly. It doesn't command us to do that. It says speak the truth in love, meaning what? Your motive is love. Your motive is not hatred. Your motive is love. Because you know that if people don't hear the truth, they can never be set free, because the truth is the only thing that will make them free. Right? So we speak the truth in love. But Jesus wasn't speaking the truth lovingly when he said to the scribes and Pharisees, brood of vipers, whitewashed sepulchers, serpents, how can any of you escape damnation? When he went into the temple and whipped those folks out, he didn't say, lovingly, I want to lovingly escort you out of the temple. He went in there with a scourge and said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. And whipped them out of there. That was an act of love, because he was showing them, you better repent of what you're doing, because you are paving the way for your damnation. And he was there straightening them out. See, even with his own disciples, folks, I'm not planning to preach a sermon, but what can I say? I'm a preacher. But even with Peter, I said, when Peter said, now the Son of Man must be crucified and suffer many things at the hands of the scribes and the Pharisees. And Peter, oh, no, Lord, no. We cannot allow that to happen. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but that's in effect what Peter said. And Jesus turned around and looked at him and looked at his disciples too. He wanted them all to hear. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You are concerned about the things of men and not the things of God. You know what? He was speaking the truth in love, but it didn't sound very loving. He could have said, Peter, I really do appreciate your feelings, and I do understand them. I understand exactly how you feel, Peter. No, your feelings, they're so authentic. <You know? laughs> But he didn't, did he? Get behind me, Satan. You are concerned about the things of men and not the things of God. That was a rebuke. But you know what? Jesus' motivation was clearly not hate for Peter. He loved Peter. I mean, he loved Peter. But he knew he needed to straighten Peter out, because he didn't want Peter walking around with this misguided understanding of what it meant to be authentically a follower of Jesus Christ. So, I said all that to simply say, so we can pray for Joe Biden, we can love Joe Biden as Christians, and we can really hate everything Joe Biden stands for, and we can do it at the same time. So we do pray. I don't want the man to die in an ignominious, painful, horrifying death at cancer. Folks was in the hospital. well, actually, a couple days before you hear this program, visiting someone who was in excruciating pain, praying for them, asking God to heal them. And it, so I just want you all to understand, as a pastor, even though I speak around the country and do a lot of different things, I am a pastor. I go to hospitals. I do funerals. I perform wedding ceremonies. I mean, I do all the things that a pastor does. You say, well, how do you find the time to do it? Only the Lord knows, but I do. So I don't wish pain and suffering on anybody. Not even people I consider to be enemies, if not my personal enemies, enemies of my country. And by the way, I do consider the Bidens to be enemies of America. I really do. Because they're against everything that is good for this country, and they're for everything that is against this country. And as far as I'm concerned, they sold America out to try to amass their own wealth. And that, to me, makes you an enemy of the United States of America. That doesn't necessarily mean he's committed legal treason. I don't know that he hasn't, but it doesn't necessarily mean that. But as far as I'm concerned, in the very spirit of patriotism and the spirit of his oath to the Constitution, in my view, he is a traitor to our country. But I still love him, and I still pray for him. Okay, let's get to some other things. I think I've said enough about that, and I hope that the man recovers and does physically well. In fact, I hope that he lives long enough to see the error of his ways and to repent, because that's what it's all about. I would love to see Joe Biden in heaven. I really would, because it would mean that at some point he came to his senses and turned around and said, Lord, I've done wrong. Forgive me. I repent of it. I mean, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, right? Well, if he's not, neither are we. But if you die in your sin, you are going to go to a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there's nothing I can do about it if the person is unwilling to repent. So I hope that they come to realize that. Okay, let me get to this first and foremost. I already said, I just, again, commend President Trump, because President Trump is reordering the economic and, frankly, the diplomatic system that's governed this world. He is a straightforward, truth-telling president. And right now, I don't know where things will be by the time you hear this, but this is being recorded not long before you'll hear it. But right now, Putin and Zelensky are indeed negotiating a potential ceasefire, which may well lead to an end of this Ukrainian war, which would be a good thing for not only for them, but it'd be good for the world and good for us, because it gets us out from underneath that, having to deal with that conflict and its implications for Europe. Because folks, like it or not, Europe can't defend itself without us. And when things go wrong in Europe, we learned this in World War I and really in World War II, ultimately. Look, if a major conflagration breaks out in Europe, we're in it. Whether we like it or not, we are in it. Because at the beginning of World War II, we thought, no, that has nothing to do with us. That's over in Europe, yeah? So we thought. But it didn't work out that way. What now? World War II broke out in 1938-39. So 70, 90, 90 plus years ago, 95 years ago. Right? 95 years ago. Well, how much more could it not work out that way, given the way the world has shrunk as a result of the... Remember, when World War II broke out, there were no nuclear weapons. There were no intercontinental ballistic missiles. There are now. There was no internet. There was no interconnectivity around the world as there is today. So how much more so if a serious conflict breaks out in the middle of Europe? How much more so are we as Americans in it, whether we like it or not? So President Trump is suing for peace everywhere he can, but not peace through weakness and begging and pleading and surrendering. And I remember one of the things Barack Obama said. I don't remember exactly when he said it. It might have been while he was running or maybe before he ran, but the suggestion that if we surrendered our nuclear weapons, everybody else would too. Well, that's just silly. That's just, you know, that's what the scripture says about being turned away from the truth and being turned unto fables. We live in an evil and sin-sick world, and we can disarm ourselves, we can flagellate ourselves, we can genuflect, we can bow down, we can grovel, and it's not going to make the world a peaceful place, and it's not going to make people stop wanting to harm us. George Washington said the best way to avoid war, the best way to secure the peace is to be prepared for war and for the world to know it. So President Trump is coming at this from a position of strength, and I think he's having a tremendous impact even in the Middle East. I mean, the potential of broadening the Abraham Accords so we bring more of these Middle Eastern Arab countries into peace with Israel would be a wonderful thing. And negotiating with Iran, I don't have a problem with that, particularly knowing, I did have a problem with Barack Obama negotiating with Iran, because to me, Barack Obama is nothing but, I never believed that Barack Obama had the best interests of America at heart. I never believed that, and still don't believe that Barack Obama even loved our country. I still don't believe it. And he's done nothing to prove me wrong. I believe Barack Obama thought that America was, I wouldn't use this term normally, but I'll use it in this context, that America was lucky to have him as president, as opposed to feeling blessed to be an American. See, I don't think he feels blessed to be an American, but I think he thinks America was really lucky because we have Barack Obama. So trusting him to negotiate with our enemies in our best interests, had never had any confidence in him, still don't. That nuclear deal with Iran was a joke. But I think President Trump, as I said, Ronald Reagan was dubbed the great communicator. I have dubbed President Trump the great negotiator. Because I believe President Trump will back up his negotiation with whatever force is necessary, political, economic, diplomatic, or military. And in this case, I think it's quite clear that if Iran really thinks they're going to ultimately negotiate their way into a nuclear weapon, they've got another thought coming. I think that's not going to happen. Because President Trump will either take action himself, that's less likely, or do what the Obama administration, the Biden administration would have never done, which is authorize Israel, or Israel's a sovereign country, so they don't need America's permission, but you know what I mean, support at least Israel's action to take out the nuclear facilities of Iran. In my view, Iran cannot be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. So I just commend President Trump for what he's doing. And look, I just saw a report today that the LA port, which is the largest port in our country, has imports down about 20%. We may perhaps haven't felt that yet in our own country, but I would simply say this. I am willing to deal with some discomfort and some pain and make some sacrifice for the future benefit of my country and the stability and reliability of our supply chains by bringing essential manufacturing home. Now, look, folks, I'm not a millionaire. I don't have any interest any more than anybody else in paying higher prices, having stuff that I want to be able to buy not available to me in the supermarket or wherever. I mean, believe me, that idea doesn't appeal to me. It's not something I'd relish. But in my view, it's a small price to pay if it means that our country becomes more secure. And our children and children's children, if Jesus tarry, don't have to be concerned about communist China cutting off their pharmaceuticals or cutting off essential aspects even of our defense capability, because we're relying upon them to build things for us and to create things, even the things that are used in our weapon systems. Now, you know, that's got to be insane. So bringing manufacturing back home, having it done in places that are our allies as opposed to our enemies, and China is an enemy. Let's make no mistake about that. If there's some discomfort, some sacrifice, some pain to get there, I'm willing to just say, you know what? Then it's worth it. It's worth it. Because we simply cannot rely upon a communist dictatorship to be fair with or to be reliable with our essential domestic needs. We can't. Frankly, it is, as far as I'm concerned, political and governmental incompetence that we ever allowed it to get that far. But here we are. I feel like Richard Nixon got a bad rap in some ways because, of course, like any other Republican, he confronted the issue of a press that simply has become so Marxist and so collectivist that they hate even the whiff of conservatism. And by the way, N. Nixon wasn't that conservative. He really wasn't. I mean, Nixon was more a noblesse oblige, even though he wasn't truly a blue blood, but he was more a noblesse oblige Republican, kind of like the Bushes. I'm going to do this because, you know, my country, I owe my country a duty, but I don't have any particular convictions. I'm just going to kind of manage this great behemoth we call the United States of America, as opposed to Ronald Reagan, who had a vision for where he wanted the country to go, which most Americans agreed with, as it turned out, overwhelmingly. And again, Donald Trump, who has a vision for where he wants America to go. These blue bloods, they're more managers. They just kind of, you know, we'll manage America, because and we don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to upset anybody. Let's just try to keep it going. And one of the things that he did was to go to communist China and open up the door for us to trade with China, thinking that. And I remember hearing it over and over again. And I have to tell you, folks, I wish I could say, and I knew that was a lie, but I didn't know any better. I thought, well, you know, if it does lead China to give up its communism and to turn toward a free society, that'll be a good thing for us. It'll be a good thing for China, certainly. It'll be a good thing for the world. That's not the way it worked out. China's as much a totalitarian country now as it ever was, but they figured out a way to manage that tyranny in such a way as to give people just enough freedom that they can experience a better standard of living while at the same time being under the thumb of the communist regime. What they've really done is something that leftist theorists and Marxists have said about American society and capitalist societies and free societies, which is that they tend to manage those economies in such a way as to keep the lid on so that there is not an explosion as a result of maldistribution of wealth or poverty or joblessness or chaos, whatever it is that would cause people to rise up. They say, you know, these so-called free societies manage that to keep the lid on. Well, you wouldn't know that by some of the riots we've had in our country, but that aside, no, it's communist countries that really do that. It's China particularly that is doing that because they've allowed just enough freedom to give people a taste, maybe even deceive them into thinking that they're free, until you step out of line and then you disappear. And the whole world saying, what happened to the head of that business? What happened to the former head of the Red Army? They disappeared. What happened? Well, they said something that the regime didn't like and suddenly they were never to be heard from again. Communist China is not no freer now than it was when Nixon traveled there. In fact, I would argue that it's far worse because they're now economically stronger, although they're still built on a house of cards, but they're economically stronger now. They've got a better equipped military now because they're spending a lot more of their GDP on military. They're a much bigger threat. They were no threat to us then at all. They are a major threat now, but they're still communists. So thanks, thank you very much, President Nixon. Thank you. Great contribution. And then, of course, all the sort of establishment types coming along behind them kept selling us this lie. Oh, China's going to be a more open society. China's interaction with America is going to cause China to really open up. Yeah, right. How's that working out for us? Xi Jinping is the dictator of China, and the Communist Party runs it with an iron fist. And whatever little freedom they've given people there is simply to keep them enslaved. So, again, praise God for President Trump, who sees the world as it really is, rather than through some artificial lens that the left has created for themselves, who, in part because they don't believe there is any good or evil. They really don't. They just think, you know, it just is. Because they don't believe that there's any ultimate arbiter of morality or right and wrong. In my sermon on Sunday, I talked about the fact that, you know, there is mental insanity where people are seeing little green monkeys, you know, crawling up the walls and giving them messages. That's mental insanity. It's delusional. You're having visual and auditory hallucinations. That'll get you killed. We'll get other people killed because the messages you think you're getting. But that's not what the left suffers from primarily. They suffer from moral insanity. But you know what? It's just as dangerous and just as deadly. Because when the voice you're hearing is telling you that wrong is right and right is wrong, when the voice you're hearing is telling you there is no God, the voice you're hearing is telling you that an unborn baby is not a human being and you can kill it willy-nilly with no moral compunctions whatsoever, or is telling you that a man can be born, a guy can be a girl born in the wrong body or a girl, whatever, however they would want to say it. I say, you know, just like you and I know, if you go up to the top of the Empire State Building, if you can manage to get to the roof, take a jackknife off the roof. When you hit the bottom, it's over. If it's not over before that. You know that because the law of gravity tells you that, teaches you that. And sadly, the experience of 9-1-1, watching people, the reality of that came home to us, watching people jump off the building rather than die in the fire. But you know what? When you jump off of the moral plateau that God has put us on, you are going to splat just as hard. It may take a little longer. It may take on a little different aspect, but you are going to splat just as hard. And you know what? You're not only going to land on the cement, you're going to land in hell. It's just as deadly. But see, the left doesn't believe that. They don't believe that you can jump off the moral cliff, and they don't believe if you stand in front of a speeding bus, you can think all you want that somehow you've got enough strength and power that when the bus arrives at you, you just stick out your hands and you'll be able to stop it. If you're mentally ill, you might believe that. But if you are not mentally ill, you know if you do that, you're going to get killed. Or very, very severely injured. But you see, they don't realize God's law is a moving vehicle. And it ultimately is wiping out everything that tries to stand in its way. So when God says, thou shalt not, and you stand in front of that and say, but I shall, and I'm right, I don't care what God says, you know what you're about to get? You're about to get crushed. That's what you're about to get. In fact, Jesus said that. He said, whoever stands against this law, he said, will be ground to powder. Let's see if I can find that. But Jesus said, will be ground. The truth of God's word, when you stand, or ground into dust, when you stand against it, you're not going to destroy it. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. But I tell you what, it will destroy you. It will destroy you. I say, you know, the word of God will never be defeated, ever. And it will never cease to have a powerful impact upon anybody it touches. Because look, it will either save you or it will condemn you. If you hear it and heed it and submit to it, it will save you. If you hear it and reject it and refuse it and rebel against it, it will destroy you and condemn you to hell. But it's going to have an impact. Well, that's just as sure as if you jump off the Empire State Building, gravity is going to cause you to fall to the bottom and die. Just as surely, when you disregard the word of God, it's going to cause you to fall to the bottom being hell, the abyss, the lake of fire, and die. See, but the left doesn't believe that, folks. They believe, morally, we can set our own standards, we can do our own thing, we can have it our way. Burger King religion, I call it. Have it your way. Well, here it is. It's in Matthew 21, verses 43 and 44. It says, therefore I say to you, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, meaning the word of God, the truth of God's kingdom. Whoever falls on this stone will be broken, and on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. See, that's the moral law of God. You can think you can stand against it and defeat it and you'll grind it to powder, but it won't work. That's going to be the ultimate result. So our job then is to do what Jesus said, to be the wise people who build our houses, build our families, build our communities, build our country on the rock. So that when the floods come and the rains beat and the winds blow, it doesn't fall because it's founded on a rock. Because whoever, this is what the Democrat Party wants to do. They want us to build our country on the sand. The shifting sands of human whim and fancies and fads and ideas. Like, you know, this idea, this notion, and I've got to get ready to go here, folks, but this notion, think about what this, because again, how can a girl be born into a boy's body or a boy be born into a girl's body? You know, the image is that God's got a factory, right? God's got this factory. He's making souls on one conveyor belt, and he's got souls on one conveyor belt, and he's got bodies on the other conveyor belt. Now, he's got female souls on one conveyor belt, and he's got male souls on another conveyor belt, and he's got female bodies on one conveyor belt and male bodies on another conveyor belt, and he puts them together at the appropriate time. But sometimes he makes a mistake. He picks up a female soul and sticks it into a male body. And so now you've got, oh, that's terrible. But have no fear, because these arrogant human beings will correct God's mistake. They will step in and they will give that body hormones. They will step in and they will cut that body and mutilate that body. They will step in and they will actually retard the development of that body in puberty because they know better than God. And they're going to fix God's mistake. The Bible says, who has counseled the Lord? Or who being his counselor has instructed him? Well, clearly, the Democrat Party apparently has, you know. And I guess these leftists have, these communists, these Marxists have. They've instructed God. They know better than God. It's like Raphael Warnock, senator from the great state of Georgia, wrote in his book that the church needs to learn from Karl Marx. Who has instructed the Lord? Karl Marx has. Because after all, does anybody doubt that Karl Marx knows better than God what's good for humanity? And to think a preacher would be telling people that and writing that to people. And it's an abomination to suggest anybody would, but Karl Marx, who doesn't even believe in God, he's supposed to be instructing the Church of God? You can Google it, check it out. Don't buy the book. I wouldn't waste, don't waste your money. But yeah, but that's what some people believe, and that's what people on the left actually believe. Of course, they don't believe in God, but they take it on the persona of God themselves, and therefore they will instruct as to the big moral and spiritual issues of humanity. They will give the instruction. They will decide the issues. Who needs God when you got leftists and Marxists and socialists and Democrats? You know, I have to tell you folks, I am more convinced today that if you claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, aka a Christian, and you are a member of the Democrat Party, one of two things is true. Either you are not a Christian, you think you are, but you are not. You are self-deceived. Or, and there are a bunch of those out there too. Some of them are preachers. Or, yeah, we just might as well tell it like it is, right? Or you are in a severely backslidden condition and you don't know it because you're too busy trying to make the people around you happy and make them like you and make them not be offended by you. And so you just kind of, oh yeah, me too. Oh sure, I'm personally against abortion, but I, who am I to tell a woman that she doesn't have a right to choose? Oh yes, well, I realize what the Bible says about homosexuality, but I have friends who are quote unquote gay, and they're just wonderful people, and they live such wonderful lives. You're lying to yourself. Either you're just backslidden and you just completely disregarding the word of God in order to make people around you happy, in order to satisfy maybe your own desire to be accepted or whatever, or you just don't know God anyway. You're one of those people when you say, well, wait a minute, Lord, I went to church. I even tithed. I volunteered on the ushers committee. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. These people, like Barack Obama claims to be a Christian, Joe Biden, again, unless they really repent and have and actually have a come to Jesus moment, and I mean that literally, they're going to find out they weren't accepted at all. Yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm going to light the White House up with rainbow colors to celebrate the marriage of two men or two women in complete contradiction to what the Word of God says. But I'm a Christian. No, you're a liar, lying to yourself and lying to everybody else. Well, look, let me end with this. This woman, Representative LaMonica McGivern, is being charged with assault on ICE officers when she showed up at that New Jersey detention center, she and some of her cohorts, and created a fracas with these ICE officers who were prohibiting them because they didn't have an authority to enter in. They could have made an appointment and gotten a tour, but they didn't want to do that because they wanted to create a scene. I saw an excerpt of an interview on the Communist News Network, otherwise known as CNN, and the commentator, one of these women that they have on there, was saying, you know, I looked at the film, and yeah, and there was a lot of pushing and shoving back and forth. I mean, it's just unclear, but there was a lot of pushing and shoving back and forth. I'm thinking to myself, when do civilians have a right to push and shove back and forth with law enforcement officers carrying out their duty? I mean, she's acting like they were at a bus stop and people were jostling to see who could get on. And yeah, there was a lot of pushing and shoving, you know, back and forth between people. It's hard to know who to blame. She's treating it like this was just one of those things where people were just pushing and shoving each other. When law enforcement officers are doing their duty, you don't have a right to get in and push and shove with them as if you have equal authority to determine what happens as they do. This is the insanity of these people and the utter chaos and anarchy that they would bring on us if we allowed them to have their way. You have law enforcement, legitimate law enforcement officers doing their job. You come in, they tell you, no, you may not enter. You can stand out, you can sing, you can speak, you can protest if you're not violating the law and where you're standing. You can do all of that, and there's nothing they can do. You have a First Amendment right to do that. What you don't have a First Amendment right to do is start pushing and shoving and demanding and not trying to knock them out of the way to get your way. And this woman was clearly doing that in the film. And to dismiss that as, oh, well, there was a lot of pushing and shoving going back and forth. See, folks, this is the lie of the devil. You see how slick that is, trying to make it like, oh, well, everybody was at fault. And, you know, it wasn't her fault because the officers, they were pushing and shoving too. Lord have mercy on us. Well, look, folks, you just keep the faith. You keep your heart humble before God and keep your head held high before the devil and all of his cohorts. And you just march on into the great future that God has for us, because we know that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. So you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.